favorite comedian Anthony Rogers live in his tour bus. Yeah. But also, you need to get a beard like this. People have been talking. They said your shit looks whack. It looks weird. They can't tell your pronouns. You need to get a beard like this right now. And the only way to do that is by using Luxurious Bastard Beard Oil. Great smell, great function, great everything. Just get this, and there's directions on how to use it if you know how to read. But use the link in the description. Go to the website. Use promo code LEGENDARY. Get a discount. Do it. Thank you. Boom.
I'm Dennis with the Anthony Rogers Show podcast. My question for you is, what would you do if you became president to help the working class?
Well, you know, I think the principal thing right now is housing. That the price of housing is going up and it's beyond the reach of most Americans.
Along with oil and gas and food.
Inflation is hurting everybody. And inflation is more complex. I can't say that I'm going to stop inflation overnight. What I can say is that I'm going to stop the long-term cause of inflation. I'm going to unravel a war machine. I'm going to reduce dramatically healthcare costs by ending the chronic disease.
Welcome back to the best podcast in the entire universe. Today we have an absolute legend going backwards in his career, doing some charity for us today. He's actually, I think it's actually community service. We have Jeff Rickley from the band Thursday. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. You know what? I'm just continuing. You know, my whole career has been backwards. It's like Benjamin Button, but for like a career, you know?
I'm glad you took take charity on my cell phone podcast and you're here, man. No, I appreciate that. You're an absolute legend. Like we're talking a little bit before this, man. You've done. I mean, your band is like this. I mean, it's a legendary band at this point, and it's not. And a lot of guys think that's code for old, but I don't mean it that way. I mean, you have done so much stuff in music, and quit when you wanted to, did you just start touring again?
Believe it or not, we've been touring again since 2016. So that's what, that's like 7 years almost. Right, that's got something like that, 7-8 years, something like that.
That's crazy. So it's the 20th anniversary of one of the albums. That's crazy. That's what you're touring on right now.
Yeah, War All the Time, 20th anniversary, and the shows right now are like the best that they've been since we've been back together. So it's kind of a weird. Like I don't really understand why it's going so well right now, but I'll take it. You know what I mean?
Your shows look packed, bro. I'm happy for you, man. They look packed, dude. And like just from social media presence and stuff. Like and you know, I mean, I've never like. As far as like a consumer, like in this, I've never seen your band not be killing it though, to be honest, man.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I got into your music probably. I mean, when I was a kid, man, like probably like early 2000s, I'm thinking, and like, no, man, your band's always been awesome, man. I can't even, like I said, I couldn't even believe you would, you were down for this, man. It's like, you're an absolute legend, man. It's like, I'll ask some cheesy questions first and we'll get to some real questions.
Okay.
But what are some like bands you were into that got you into music originally? And cheesy question, but the answer is probably awesome, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I was into music super young, and at first it was kind of like my parents were taking me to shows when I was like really little, like 3 years old, you know, like going to see bands like Jefferson Airplane and Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young and stuff like that, you know, like 3-5 years old, seeing Paul Simon, 6, seeing, you know, The Who, you know, stuff like that, where I was like really a kid. But then I started to get into music, like for myself, more like around 9, 10, I had some friends whose older sisters, like I had crushes on, and they would like turn me on to, you know, The Cure and The Smiths and like all kind of the more romantic-y stuff. And the first band that I felt like I really got into, like on my own, it was like, I searched it out and I went and bought the cassettes and stuff, was Nine Inch Nails. And that was like, that was huge for me because, The Downward Spiral came out on my birthday, my 15th birthday. So it came out like exactly on my birthday, and like March 8th, 1994, my 15th birthday. And it like changed me, you know what I'm saying?
Wow, that's amazing. I wouldn't have guessed Nine Inch Nails. I would have guessed the other bands you said, but Nine Inch Nails threw me off. And I like that that's crazy. That came on your birthday even, man. That's like And so someone in the comments said, I would say Thursday's iconic, not legendary. So they corrected me.
Nice. Yeah. No, I like to get very semantic on podcasts too. You know,
so. Yeah. I just want to correct Luke. vocabulary. And if anybody watching has any, I've been with 133 people so far watching, have any questions, I'll ask whatever too. So just, I mean, you guys are spending your Monday doing this, so I will definitely ask questions as well. But okay, so.
And then it sort of changed for me too, by the way, like when I got into like more DIY stuff, like the first time I heard like Fugazi and started like understanding like sort of what the like DIY hardcore scene was, that was like a big point in my life. And that sort of like, that was what led to what eventually like started Thursday, was like entering into more of a like DIY space, like going to fire halls and, you know, VFW halls and basements and, you know, stuff like that.
No, that's amazing, man. That's like, yeah, that's crazy. Like, I don't know when I first, I'm trying to think of when I first heard your band, but I was definitely a kid, like probably like high school or 20s or something like that. Like something like that. And that was like, I was trying to think of what point in your career I was at where I heard that, but no, it's, no, you are kind of a independent band, I guess, like in that aspect, even though you're like bigger, like it's weird calling somebody at your status an independent band but it only just means you weren't like pushed by like billionaires on yachts, you know, that's really all it really means. But you know what I mean?
We traveled the different paths. We started in basement shows and DIY labels, and then we eventually were pushed by the billionaires on the yachts. And now we're back to being more like being in the closer to the basement than on the yacht. You know what I'm saying?
You have the Illuminati t-shirt though. So I don't know if.
Oh yeah. St. Vitus. Yeah. It's a black metal bar here in Brooklyn that just got shut down by the Department of Buildings. So I'm like making sure that I shout them out tonight. You know.
There you go, man. So are you from Brooklyn then?
I'm from New Jersey, originally from New Brunswick, New Jersey. And okay. That's where the band's from. That's where we started doing basement shows. But I've lived in Brooklyn for about 20 years now. So I'm kind of a Brooklynite, I guess.
Well, yeah, no, Amber brought up in the comments, I miss basement shows. That was a fun part of life, man. Just like just being young, going to the shows, drinking beer, watching these bands play, man. That was a fun part of it, man. Like, I mean, that's what blew you up though, probably, right?
I mean, you know, so I was putting on shows in like, I'd say like 97, 98, 99. And we had everybody from like, you know, at the drive-in come through the house, Boy Sets Fire, Hot Water Music, Dillinger Escape Plan, all these bands came through. And then when it was kind of time for us to do our first tour, I called like a lot of the people whose numbers I still had from them playing in New Brunswick and said, like, do you have something similar in your town? You know, and they would hook me up with whoever did the shows in their town. So that's how we got to know everybody. And then, you know, eventually after our first record came out, we started to get like, you know, a booking agent, and we got on some bigger tours. We went out with a band called the Murder City Devils, and that was really big for us. And then Rival Schools, and eventually Saves the Day Tour. And the Saves the Day Tour was like a really big step for us because we were so good. We had been on tour for like 2.5 years, and we were just like killing it every night, just opening, you know what I mean? And that was like, we were able to win over all these people. And then it's like right at the end of that tour, MTV added Understanding in a Car Crash to their regular rotation. It was on every 15 minutes. It was wild. And it just, everything in the band, we went from playing little tiny places to headlining big places, you know? So it was a real,
wow.
It was kind of like, it was really slow for like a long time, like 3 years. And then it was overnight. You know what I mean? It was like slow, 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 bang.
That's how that works. No, that's how that works. You said 3 years before it popped off?
Yeah.
That's pretty fast. There's still an art. That's pretty fast.
It's still pretty fast. It was our second record, and you know, that's still pretty quick. So
music especially. I saw the Mercy Devils with Pearl Jam, I think. I saw them in like they're on the Yield Tour or something with Pearl Jam, I think, when I was a kid.
Such a great band, yeah.
They're good. Yeah. What was working with At the Drive-In like, man? I love that band, to be honest.
Yeah, it was really cool. I mean, they
are you friends with those guys? You know,
yeah, absolutely. And you know, I first met them because they were opening for this band called Knapsack on tour, and they played our local club, the Melody Bar, and there were probably 20 people there. There was nobody there. And I watched them play for 20 people like it was the last show that they'd ever play. You know what I mean? They were like hanging off shit, they were throwing shit, they were running up the walls, like screaming, putting the mic in his mouth. Like it blew me away how committed they were. That it didn't matter who was there. They were just going to give it their all every time. And I just like kind of went up to them afterwards, sort of gushed and said, like, you know, I'm the local guy that does like the local stuff. And, you know, you played the Melody Bar tonight, which to me is like kind of big, but if you need a place to stay, or if you ever are passing through and want a show, you know, just let me know. Here's my address. Here's my, can write me. You can, here's my phone number. And, I was asleep at like maybe 1:30, 2 in the morning, and all of a sudden, like, there's knocking on my door, and they're like, "Yeah, we're gonna stay here tonight." And I was like, "Come on in." And that was kind of like the beginning of a beautiful friendship starting. And then they would have us open up for them the next time they came through, and
wow,
you know, yeah, all that kind of stuff. And then we've toured with both their bands after. So we toured with Sparta and we toured with the Mars Volta. So,
Right. You're in Sparta. You just told, okay, that's right. I forgot. Yeah. They're in Sparta. Dude. Okay. Yeah. That it's like a funny story is like that, like seeing Mars Volta is actually why I'm not a musician and like why I'm in comedy. I saw them play and I'm like, I'm a poser. Like, immediately, the way they perform, they're just so good, man. Like, they're just.
If that was the test, nobody could be a musician. You know what I mean? Like, they're too good. They're like, you know, they're like jazz level great. So.
Yeah. And then like just crazy showman, like you're saying too, just like, just doing like, I watched that guy throw a microphone stand up like 30 feet in the air, swing it, catch it. And then someone had like hot water and like a tea glass for him. Like after he did that, I was like, man, I'm a poser. I'm going to die. I gotta do something else, man. It's like,
yeah,
that was like the moment. But I mean, you guys hold up. I think, I mean, you guys are like, I mean, just certain times, you know, like, I feel like you're more of like a writer, I think, man, which is like, like, I mean, you're definitely an entertainer, but I think like you're like, I mean, you wrote a book and that's what going to talk about here shortly, but which proves you're a writer. Obviously you're selling books. So that, I mean, by definition you are, but I'm saying like, you seem like, one of those guys, like, it just seems like a poet writer type, you know, that's the kind of vibe I get from you.
Yeah. Not as much of like a shit kicker or like a hellraiser. It's more of like the more introspective writer type. Yeah,
you definitely seem like that. Yeah, I got that right then. Yeah, but you definitely got that vibe, man. Where like you're just like, I mean, you definitely seem like a novelist. You know, I mean, then like obviously you wrote one. So I mean, but I'm just, and without knowing that, just your vibe, it just seems like that, man. Like as a lead singer, there's like a lead singer type, like prototype like that, like Jim Morrison was kind of like that, I think. Like,
right, sure, like, yeah, friends with Joan Didion and all the writers and stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, and you kind of got that vibe, and I mean that as a compliment. I think I love Jim Morrison as a kid and stuff too. And I think like, but no, I think that's like, that's kind of your type. You're like, you're definitely like a writer type and stuff. And we should get to that. So you had a book basically come out. When did this book come out? Just recently?
Yeah, it just came out in July. So you know, less than a year in, and. It's quite a process, you know. It was like 5 years of writing, 5 hours a day, 5 days a week. So, you know, thousands of hours I put into it, 12 drafts.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That's crazy. And then was really lucky that it got bought and released by a writer who I really loved and admired. And then, you know, got to be the first book that she put out and got really like embraced by the, you know, literary community. And that's been really lovely, because you never know if people are just going to be like, you're a musician, like you think you can, you know, be a tourist here in the writing world, you know, but I just really, I really love, you know, books and literature. And I went back to school to learn a lot so that I could write the book. And luckily it's done really well, and we're on our sixth printing now. So it's really
we didn't say the name.
Unbelievable, honestly.
Someone who isn't me, for anybody watching that doesn't know, it's not like someone watching.
Oh, yeah.
Someone who isn't me, and then you can buy the links right here to get it. You're talking about
I come prepared.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. That's a great cover too, by the way. Is that your face?
Jesse,
is that your face a bunch?
No, it's this amazing artist, Jesse Draxler.
Okay.
He did like the Poppy record cover, and he did the Franz Kafka, the Kafka reissues. And I was really lucky. I sent it to him and said, you know, I'd love to license one of your paintings. And he was like, let me just check it out and make sure it's up to par to give you a cover. And like a week later, he said, it kept me up all night, and I ended up making a new piece just inspired by the cover that should be the cover. And he sent it to me. He was like, use this. And I was like, oh, I love it. You know,
that's why it works so well. That's crazy. Okay. They made it just for that. That makes way more sense. So we read the book and then like made the art for it. That totally makes sense by the vibe.
And he's so cool. He sent me the canvas, the original canvas. So I have it hanging on my wall, like in the other room. Yeah.
All your fans so far have been girls. And I think that's my, I think that's the experience I've noticed with Thursday. I think every girl in my high school, like, loved your band also. Like, every
awesome.
Like literally, it's like every single comment of your, these are all, I don't recognize these people, these are all your fans probably, like, and they're all women so far. It's hilarious.
When we were, you know, young and touring in the hardcore scene, I remember, you know, all the other bands, you know, Walter from Quicksand, all people saying like, dude, women come out to see your band. That's, you know, young women and girls, they come out to see your band. Like, they don't come to see any of our bands. This is so cool. We're finally getting to play for some women, you know. I was like, okay, that's cool, I guess, you know.
That's awesome. I mean, that's cool, man. I think that's good that, you know, I'm kind of bro-y. So I noticed the same thing. I just see it and I respect it. It's like when I saw like Glass Animals, I think I was like the only dude that saw Glass in the crowd seeing Glass Animals. Like the same kind of vibe with Thursday, you know. I feel like
really lucky that like that women feel safe at our shows, you know, for the most part. I mean, there's, you know, unfortunately the kind of world we live in, it's not always safe for women anywhere. So you know, it's really nice to know that they feel like good and welcomed at our shows, you know.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, it shows you have like just that anyone can enjoy your music. It's not just like one, you know, I mean, it's not just like a bunch of dudes listening to it. And it's not just girls, it's like just the comment section is right now. But I'm just saying. But dude, okay, so I had some questions when you told me originally about this book. Like it was like to take a little darker turn. I don't want to dwell on it too much because drugs are stupid. I think we both agree on that at this point. I hope anyway. But I'm not saying I get it. People do it, and I've done drugs too. I'm not trying to act like I'm better than that, but it's dumb, and you shouldn't do it if you're watching this. You shouldn't do drugs if you're watching this. But so what was the drug that you used to get off of heroin? Basically, like, more information on that. Like I don't know anything about that.
Yeah. So first of all, I agree with you. Drugs are dumb. And as my sponsor, you know, when I was having a really hard time, like in my first year of sobriety, my sponsor in the program, one day he just finally said to me, he said, you know, heroin's for fucking losers, man. Just accept it. Don't be a fucking loser. And I was like, damn, like maybe I needed to hear that for a second. You know what I mean? While I'm struggling, like, yeah, no, you're right. The name of the drug that was part of the experimental treatment that I took is called Ibogaine. And it's an African root bark that, you know, so they dig the shrub up out of the ground and then they shave the bark off the shrub's roots. And then that substance, you can eat a lot of it and it'll make you trip for like 48 hours. And it's famously an unpleasant experience, and it gets used in Gabon as a kind of coming of age ceremony. You know, you're a man now, you're going to take this and you're going to have to face yourself and you're going to face all the spirits that came before you and your ancestors. And if you live, because it does kill people, you know, if you live, now you're a man. It's kind of where the drug started.
What stuck out to me that you brought up that I wanted to ask about in particular was like, you saw all of your life basically and like the decisions you made. Is that true?
So it's more than my whole life. It's all the bad decisions I've made.
Okay, that's right. That's right. I was paraphrasing off what you said.
Yeah.
So you saw every single bad decision you made in your life?
I'm sure I made more than that, but yeah, you know, I've made more than 24 hours worth of bad decisions. But yeah,
That's funny. But what was that like? And before you answer that, like, I want to elaborate. I feel like that's what happens after we die when we're like have this like soul thing. Where they like almost like watch our entire lives as that's kind of like a belief I have right now. So what was that like to ask an actual question?
Yeah, well, it's interesting you say that because I think about that sometimes. Because you know, I didn't do it in a ritual setting like they do down in Africa. I did it in a hospital, being cared for and stuff. So I felt, you know, a little safer. But I could definitely imagine if I was in like. So like in the rainforest where they do it, you know, I could imagine it feeling like a death, you know, a kind of death. And even for me in the hospital, I would say it was like the young me died and I had to kind of like, it was kind of like a start of a new life where I had to like make some decisions and go a different direction. And that was a really beautiful part of it as part of the treatment. So, you know, you take the Ibogaine and it lasts about 24 hours. And then after that, you kind of can't walk for 2 days. So you're in a hospital bed, just sort of being like fed, you know, for 2 days after that. But when you can walk again, eventually at the end of it, they have you go with some shaman and you smoke DMT from like a frog's venom. You smoke this frog venom. And you have like an incredibly, you have like a real ego death, you know, like a great shamanistic, like one with God consciousness kind of 20 minute very quick but very profound experience. And so the Ibogaine was very much like a death. It was like the it was like reviewing your life at the end of your life. And
life then there was review, kind of yeah, like,
yeah, life review. And then there was kind of like this period of almost like mourning yourself, like the 3 days where you can't walk and then you rise again and you smoke the DMT and it reminds you that like life is this big, beautiful place and you get welcomed back to life. And that like all together, that experience was definitely like a death and a rebirth. And it was, man, it was a profound experience, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I listened to a lot of these hypnosis, of people, like I think that like these PhDs and I kind of do, they hypnotize these people and ask them about their past lives and stuff. And mm-hmm. a lot of people have mentioned this under hypnosis that after they die, they've had multiple lives, we've been here before, stuff like that. And then they do have a life review after it. And I thought that was kind of interesting. And I think that, the people love you, bro, in the comments, man. Like,
hi, Glenn.
That's awesome, man. You definitely spread a lot of good feelings for people, man. I think that's important in art.
You know, it's interesting, like the death experience, like saying like it's a similar thing, you know, these psychedelics, especially the DMT, it activates a part of your brain called the pineal gland. You know, all of us have this pineal gland. It drips out a little bit of information when we sleep or like when we meditate deeply, it kind of like will give us a little tiny something. But they say that the time when your pineal gland releases all its energy, like when everything that's inside sort of like squeezes and it gives you the full dose, is when you die. And that, so the idea that like smoking DMT, which is the same chemical that's in your pineal gland, is the same experience as death, like it actually might be, you know. And all I could say is if you know, the experience of dying is anything like the experience that I had on DMT, it's like an incredibly beautiful, you know, rejoining of everything, you know, where we all feel so separate sometimes, I think, you know what I mean? Like we feel so alone. And so like, I'm just me and nobody could understand. And this was like the opposite of that. This was like, oh, now I understand how like small I've been, you know, I've been just one little thing, but this whole time I've been connected to everything. And that like, that experience was incredibly powerful. And so, you know, I hope that it's not just a black nothingness, you know, a drop into nothing like sleep can be. But, you know, hopefully first you get a little rejoining feeling, you know.
Yeah, no, I think that's great for artists to experience that. I mean, you have a reach of a lot of people. So it's very important that I think you experience stuff like that to relate to people. I do think that that's very, I mean, as of right now, I mean, subject to change with more information. I do think that's a factor. And I do think, do you think you've lived here past lives and stuff? Do you think you've been here before?
I think it's possible. There have been some really strange, like I have this memory all the time, of this like old timey scene in the Wild West where like I somehow got in front of like a horse drawn carriage and managed to like fall down in front of the wheel. And that's how I died, getting run over by like a buggy. And I remember at the end being like, oh no, that's such a dumb way to die. And then like having that same kind of like lifting up over everything, being like, oh, it's okay. Like death isn't like the end or whatever. So yeah, I mean, I don't know about all that stuff. Maybe it's like, maybe we're all just a little bit connected to every spirit. And so you can kind of tap into that. Who knows? I don't have any answers. I have no idea what happened.
Sure. But, No,
but yeah,
no.
I've had some experiences where I've been like, that's weird. And the weirdest one that my parents talk about is when I was like, a little kid, like maybe like seven, I would have these dreams that I'd wake up like crying from, and they'd be like, what's wrong? And I'd be like, I was on stage. I was supposed to sing, but I had stage fright and I couldn't sing. And it made me scared because I couldn't sing and I should be singing. And they were like, you didn't want to be a singer when you were little. You wanted to be like a fucking astronaut. And some reason you're having these like dreams of stage fright and losing your voice. And like 20 years later, we're like, that's a pretty weird dream for him to have now that he's actually doing it every night. You know what I mean?
This comment just says kids always say weird shit.
That's like the best. So true.
That's like the best comment you can react. That's hilarious. But no,
it's true, Shelby.
That's so funny. But I believe in that a lot, man. I definitely think as of right now in my life, and like I said, subject change, and I also don't know anything. I'm just guessing. But I do think that I do think that the dreams can be prophetic, and I do think that I think all personally, I think all time's happening at once, and we're just seeing it slow right now because we're in this human vessel. I think it's all happening in one time or something weird. I mean, that's what it feels like. That's almost how we can connect to it.
I think that's an interesting thing. And science, you know, says that time is a dimension. The same, it's a spatial dimension, like we think of, you know, the three dimensions that we can see. That time is also a physical space. And the interesting thing about physics too is like time doesn't run the same. It gets, you know, gravity affects time. So the higher you are in the atmosphere, the faster or the slower time runs. I can't remember which it is.
I think it's faster right off. I'm guessing. I think it was faster.
I think so too. And if you start to tilt the planes of the physical planes, there's like, it's like you, it's really strange, but there are ways in which like, if you measure far enough away from the Earth, in that plane, you're still alive, or like you're not yet born. And it's, so there's some really interesting physical phenomenon that make me think that yes, all time is happening at once. And our experience of it as linear has something to do with the way we view it, not the way it is, you know, which makes sense because, it makes sense because, every sense that we have runs on vibration. If you think about it, you know, hearing is a wave that we measure with the vibrations, and sight, you know, light is a wave. And so maybe time is a wave too. And it's, yeah, I don't know. I could get really like off on the deep end on this. My dad is a chemist. And when I was a kid, he used to tell me theoretical physics bedtime stories. So I've been interested in this stuff since I was like,
that's so funny. Yeah. You brought that up. Cause like, I quit smoking weed like a month or two ago. And my brain's been going like way faster than normally has. I've just been like tearing through that subject matter. Like, I just like, I've been listening, like, I just going through like, and it's sad to a degree. Cause I was like reading like string theory and like M theory and stuff. And I'm like, I feel like I'm like seeing through it, which is annoying too, because I was looking up like parallel dimension theories and stuff. And I was like, oh, like, man, I want to travel to different dimensions. And then I look at string theory and I'm like, okay, they're just using string as a different word for particle. And they look like M theory. And all he did was he added like time to something that probably already had time in it anyway. And then I'm like, these guys are just trying to sell books. And you know what I mean? That's what I feel like. And like, there's, and also there's nothing wrong with selling books. You should go to asterismbooks.com and get Jeff's book. But I was saying, I was looking at like M theory and stuff, and I was like, that's not even, that's just like, he added like time to dimensions, but there's already probably time in dimensions. I'm like, what is that? I was like looking at it, I'm like, I don't know if I'm right, but I was just questioning it all when I went into it, like being like, man, I wonder what smart people think. And I'm like, man, smart people are just trying to sell me books and talk down to me condescendingly. You know what I mean? I was just like, it was kind of terrifying.
I was talking to my dad about some of this stuff at one point, you know, right after I went to Mexico and had that experience. I said, look, I'm going to say some weird mystical stuff, and I hope you can go with me, because my dad, in addition to being a man of science, is like a deeply religious man. And, you know, he said something to me that I thought was really interesting. He said, you know, science, like religion, it doesn't define what existence is. It tries to describe what existence already is. So like whatever you say as your description of the properties of the world, the visible world, you know, a new discovery isn't changing anything. It's getting closer to understanding how it already is and always is. You know what I mean?
I love that. I absolutely love that.
Yeah.
No, I'm Christian too. And I'm just like getting into science. Like I'm both of those things too. I feel very, very religious and like very servant to God, like Jesus and stuff, and also like into science too. I feel like a lot of times people think those worlds can't merge, and I like that you said your dad was into both of those, because I think a lot of people think it has to be one or the other, or you know, and really,
right?
And you're right. We're just trying to describe. That's so well. You put that so well, man. Like we're just trying to describe how it's going, and we're getting closer with each discovery. Yeah, no, that's true, man. Like,
yeah, no matter what we believe, it doesn't change fundamentally that it is the way that it is. None of us are sure what that is exactly, but you know, it's somehow. And we, you know, one of the things that I love about every religion has, every major religion has something along the lines of, if you were to see the true face of God, you would die. because you can't comprehend it. It's too much. So it's like we try to get closer to understanding, but like no one will ever understand. That is not part of the living mind, does not understand the totality of existence. You know what I mean? And like we've known that for literally centuries that like you can't. You know what I mean? You would die if you understood. And I think that's a really beautiful thing.
They say that in Christianity too, because we were not sinless, so we can't even be around it.
Yeah, it's Jennifer, I agree. Same river. Different
like the fact that we be around God either. Like, wait, what did you say?
Oh yeah, sorry. I think we got a little glitched. So I talked over you.
I'm using Starlink, so I missed what you said. I'm in the middle of nowhere using Starlink.
Can I have some more crumbs, sir, please?
That's so real, bro. No, it's terrible in a city, but it's great in the country. Like, you know, like stalling. But what were you saying? I actually wanted to hear what you're saying. Like I wasn't trying to.
Oh, no, there was a comment that said that they were the same. There were beliefs, both scientific and spiritual, are boats on the same river to me. I think that's a wonderful, wonderful thought. Yeah.
No, that's great. I tend to believe that. When I was younger, I was more arrogant and thought I knew everything. But now I'm like more.
Oh, yeah, me too. I was so confident as an atheist that I would almost laugh about it. And now I'm like, oh, like being so confident that there's nothing is like just as arrogant as being absolutely sure you know what there is. You know what I mean?
Definitely. Like, no,
great.
You're right.
It's great.
No, you're right. And I like laugh at like the Big Bang now as I get older too. I'm like, oh yeah, there's no God. There just was a Big Bang. You know, I'm just like, all of it sounds ludicrous until I have the evidence. You know, it's like, I more or less, like, it's just like, I don't know. It just sounds like, I don't know. I'm always questioning it more so than anything at this point. I mean, I definitely serve God, but I'm saying like the science aspect, I'm always questioning it. And I think that's interesting. You brought up a lot of that stuff and you're into that too. I didn't realize that.
Well, and another thing that my dad really made me think about during that conversation is I was saying, you know, like I know that there's not really probably anything, you know, it's like there was a bang and then everything sort of like spun around and it was chaos until it wasn't chaos and then blah, 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 you know, like matter became this, became energy. And that's just, you know, it's just because there were basically conditions there. You know what I mean? Before the Big Bang, there were just a set of conditions. You know, there was the way the physical world worked. And my dad said, like, why would there be any conditions on nothing?
Yeah.
And I was like, damn.
No, I know.
Yeah. About that. Yeah.
It's weird getting older, man. It's weird getting older. I remember just believing it. I remember just believing and not questioning it. Now I'm like, wait, what? So nothing created something? I was like, wait, what? Like, what happened? Like, it's weird.
Yeah,
it's
no, weird. It's a beautiful mystery. And I think like getting to the point where you're comfortable wrestling with those questions, is like, that's something I say to all my sponsees, you know, cause like when I'm in the program and I do the 12 steps and all of that. And like, you know, step 2 and 3 are about coming to believe in a power greater than yourself and then putting your life in that power's hands. And that is a real stumbling block for most people. It was a stumbling block for me. It's a real hard one to say, like, now I have to believe in, like, are you telling me I have to believe in God to get sober? Like, this is insane. And it's not. You don't have to believe in God. You have to believe in something bigger than you. And there's a lot bigger than you. You know, I always say, like, dude, it's not that hard to believe in something more powerful than you. Like, put 10 people together, they're more powerful than you. You know what I mean? A rock band's more powerful than you. A group of AA is more powerful than you. So there's got to be a lot that's more powerful than that. You know what I mean? But the cool thing is when we really get into the weeds and we're talking about it and they're like trying to shoot it down and I'm trying to tell them that there's a possibility, you know, when we get deep into it, I say, how lucky are we to wrestle with these huge questions? You know what I mean? Like, definitely, we get to like talk to another person and say, like, what does it mean? You know,
that's true. And I had to go to AA when I was like 16. So I remember that process and stuff. And as a kid, that definitely was a hurdle for me. It was like I believe in God now, but I was such an arrogant atheist when I was young. I was just so arrogant. And
yeah.
When you know the least, you think you know the most. And that's the weirdest part about life.
Call that? The Dunning-Kruger effect?
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. That's pretty much how, like, yeah, that's how the world seems right now, too. The loudest people know everything, right?
Mm-hmm. And then when you really, really learn, you're like, maybe I don't know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's Diana said in the comments, and Socrates is famous for saying in Operation Ivy, it's like just knowing nothing. I think it's just like I think that's the first sign of wisdom is knowing that you don't know things, you know, and like
I love this quoting Socrates and Operation Ivy together. That's so sick.
They said the same thing though. You know, it's like But it's kind of along the weirdness we're going in that kind of in a good way. I like the weirdness. But I'm saying, like, God, do you remember before you were born by chance? Do you have any memories of this life before you were born?
Well, I don't want to get too psychedelic, but the first time that I like really tripped on mushrooms, and I did way too much by accident. Like, I was in high school and my girlfriend got a bag of mushrooms for us to take on a day off from school. We were going to go to my parents' house and take mushrooms, and she gave them to me to hold. And it was the morning and I got up and I was like, I'm going to get an early start and take my half of the mushrooms. And then she called me and she was like, hey, I got called into work today, so like you're on your own. And I was like, oh no, but I already took my half of the mushrooms. She's like, what do you mean half? And I was like, my half. And she's like, that was for four people. You took two doses. And I was like, oh, okay. And then this is so dumb. An hour later, I thought they didn't work, so I took her half too. So I took a bunch. And I got so high that I had this like crazy memory of being like in a room with a million TVs. And I would like stick my head into the TV and live like a whole life. And I'd be like, not that one. And then I'd stick in like, no, not that one. And some of them, it was like, oh, this one's too easy. This one's too sad. This one's too this. And I remember the one that I picked in that dream was like, it's going to be really hard and you're going to fuck it up a lot. But in the end, you're going to be happy with what you did. And that's like, so far, that kind of feels like what I'm doing. So.
No, that's funny. No, I that's interesting. You remember that to a degree too. Like, that's funny. It's like not a lot of people remember that, you know, or not a lot of people talk about that. A lot of people probably remember that. They just don't talk about it.
How about you? Do you feel like, and yes, Shelby, that's the number one beginner mistake. I guess it's because I was just a stupid high school kid.
Yeah. That's crazy to me. Like mushrooms are not, I mean, I have microdose and stuff and but like taking this past a certain amount on mushrooms is nuts to me personally. I'm like,
yeah.
But to answer your question, no, I think I remember it too, like to a degree. Mine was a different experience where like I was like it was almost like I was like this like soul and with another like angel like soul, like looking down at Earth, and like I was seeing like 4 to 7 like video game like characters, like their entire life was happening at once, and I picked this one for some reason, I don't know.
Cool.
I felt whitewashed as I went down though, and I forgot a lot of my stuff. Other than I remember that, like, I remember that I was like, I keep messing it up somehow. I keep messing up this whole thing, and I'm trying not to this time. You know, I remember that mostly.
Yeah, man. I mean, I have some weird things. Like, when I was a little kid, I used to see this like vision of a little girl, like that was like I knew I was supposed to find her. And when I met my partner, who I've been with for like the last 13 years, I was like, whoa, she kind of looks like that little girl. Like, that's crazy. You know what I mean? And sometimes I'm like, I wonder if that's why I was like, I got to date her. You know what I mean? Like, because like, she looks like this like vision that I had when I was a kid.
Did you know right away too, when you met her?
It's funny. Like, so I was working at a kitchen store and like Thursday, hadn't broken up yet, but like, in between tours, like I needed to work jobs to make rent. Everybody thought I owned the store, which is so funny. It gives you an idea how much people think musicians make, like so much more than they actually make.
Well, I think just because you're famous, you're wealthy right away too. They're like, well, you're famous. Everybody knows you. You must be a billionaire.
Dude owns this store. It's like, no, he makes $13 off the books. You know what I mean?
I love that. Honestly, people need to hear that about artists. People need to hear that that people like pay bills too. You know, they need to hear that.
So she came in to like buy a spatula or something, like little, and I saw her walk in and I was like, she's kind of cute, like whatever. I didn't really think anything. But when she came up to the counter and she smiled at me, like, and she was like, hi. And like, there was just, it just like, it hit like that, like where I was just like, oh no, you know what I mean? Like, oh no, I think this is like the moment, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Now, I wonder in those, like, thoughts, like, how many times we've known these same people. Like a lot of times, too. Like for you to have a connection like that is almost like you've probably known this person multiple times. I have no evidence what I'm saying. But I'm just saying, like, so I'm not trying to claim it, but I feel that way sometimes. I feel that, like, who knows how long we've known these souls were around and like, how many different lives we've done that. Like, Jennifer in the comments is saying, I love that. I dreamed about my husband before I met him. We clicked extremely fast to celebrate 10 years of marriage. I mean, that's...
That's amazing. Yeah. I do think that probably there's some rearrangement where we like I kind of almost feel like it's like, yo, you're not supposed to actually like make a deal to meet up, but like me and you, we got to meet up next time too, okay? You know what I mean? It's like that. It's like, yeah. It's like no, fresh start, live a new life, and then you're like, no, me and you meet up in the next life.
Dude, no, I can see that, and like I don't mean this, I don't mean this in a negative way at all, but you were very deep for a musician.
I'm not a drummer, bro. No, I'm just kidding.
That's so funny. Like you used to have a lot of knowledge, and I'm not knocking other musicians, but I'm just saying like you were like super deep for a musician, man. And I don't think not all. I mean, there's a lot of deep musicians, but I'm saying like you in particular are just like
I'm just so old for a musician.
That's so funny. That's not what I'm saying. But no, like a lot of the, I mean, just like you, I mean, we've covered like so many different subjects and you just kept up and like, I mean, just like, I'm just saying, man, like, and I don't mean that in a derogatory or like condescending way.
No, I don't take it in a derogatory way. Good. Not at all.
Good. No, I mean that just as a compliment. I think that it's very cool to like entertainers, like we're usually just self-promoters, like copy pasters, you know, that's kind of what I view entertainers as, but I mean, myself included, I'm not trying to knock it, but I'm saying like, no, you have a lot of depth to it. And I definitely think there's way more to the soul than it's ever talked about. You know, I think we're just I just think there's way more to it. And I think like that's where I'm at right now. I'm very curious about that. I've been listening to a lot of like past life regressions and a lot of stuff like that. And like reading or listening to a lot of like Stanford like quantum physics stuff, trying to catch up because I've just been like a dumb stoner for too long. And I was just trying to get back into thinking and like my rapid thoughts and rapid monologue again. Like I just like. So it's like crazy to like how energy works that you're just like just keeping up with that and had similar kind of experiences too. I think
when it comes to soul, like I sometimes think like the way we think about soul is so very like Western, where it's like soul is similar for a lot of people to ego, where it's like my soul is my little me and it floats away like Casper the Friendly Ghost, right? When I die and it stays like Jeff, like with the same face and the same dumb haircut or whatever, you know, it's like Jeff, my soul, you know what I mean? But I think it's more like we explode into everything and little pieces of our life force energy go into everything. And it's like whatever echo of our personality is like, is separate. Like there's gotta be multiple parts of the soul. You know what I mean? There's like the life force, there's the energy, there's the love force, there's the most truest part of who you are. Maybe that's like when we say like meet up in the next life or whatever, you know, like go into the next life. It's like that little tiny kernel of like truth that we found in our last life. You know what I mean?
I think you nailed it with truth. I think when we're honest, when we're authentic, when we're closest to our truth, we're closest to our soul. I think that's like our soul is almost just like complete truth. Like the human body kind of muddies it up and waters it down, it seems like, to where we like the world's very tricky, man. It makes you think you have to be a certain kind of way a lot of times, and like you have to be to pay bills. I mean, you have to exist, you have to be a certain kind of way. I mean, you can't just be like sitting in a field and be like, oh, I'm just this all, you know, you have to play the game or you just will be passed up.
You have to play the game, and you have to remember no one gets out alive, you know what I'm saying?
yeah. And that's terrifying too. I mean, that's a crazy thing. I wrote a plane twice this weekend and I'm just like, I hated it the whole time. I'm terrified of flying. And it definitely gave me some thoughts of like, everybody should apologize to and a bunch of weird things like that. Like you go through that kind of thought process. You're like, man, if I died in this plane crash right now, I'd probably be ashamed of like several things and I should probably own them and be accountable and like talk to these people. And that's kind of a weird thing to talk about, I guess. But I just,
my browser history, you know what I mean? I'm like, oh man.
Delete that immediately upon impact. You're like deleting it, like off airplane mode mid crash, trying to delete your browser history.
My living will is like get rid of browser history. I don't want people to know how much I'm looking up conspiracy theories all day.
That's hilarious. That's what it's become. That's definitely what the internet's become. And we're in a weird time. I mean, I think artists like yourself need to educate yourself on every aspect because you reach so many people and like with your music and like with your mind and stuff. And I think the wiser you become, the more, I mean, the better the world is for that. It's like you're in a unique situation. Not a lot of people are. I think that like, I don't think a lot of people have like the reach of like art that someone like you would have, you know?
Yeah, no, it's something that I think about more now than when I was young. You know, when I was young, I had like the fire of idealism and I felt very righteous and that like I was going to spread this amazing thing for everybody. And you know, the older I get, the more I think about like, what does it even mean to have good politics as an American? You know what I mean? Like there's so it's what does it mean? Like what? And so like, I try to stay away. I don't try to stay away from politics, but I do try and be of service in ways that are more universal if I can, you know what I mean? In ways that are just like, this is just a kindness that we can do for each other. You know what I mean? Because I think it's like, you know, every time I talk to a friend who's from a different culture or comes from somewhere else, they're like, yeah, Americans are really like concerned with X, you know, with this one thing or whatever, you know, it's like whatever side of the issue you are on, you think that that issue is the biggest issue in the world. And like so much of the rest of the world, we don't even like view it in terms of any of that. And like, we kind of think like you guys are really in your own heads a lot. And it's like, that's fair. I mean, you can say Americans are like fighting about some shit in their heads all the time. You know what I mean? I'm not saying we shouldn't pick sides and fight for what we believe in, whatever, whatever. But there are some things that like, you know, we need to try and look out for each other that just aren't even politics, you know what I mean? They're just like, how are we going to do better? How are we going to look after each other? How are we going to give people better care? How are we going to like be more humane? How are we going to, you know what I mean? Like, those are the things that as I get older, I try to do better at, and I feel more complicated and more conflicted in a lot of the things and a lot of the positions. I have a much bigger space of, but what if I'm wrong in my head? You know what I mean? But what if I'm wrong about this thing that I believe in?
Yeah,
that's a really powerful, uncomfortable thing.
That's kind of a powerful thought, I think, man. And I think America's being divided and conquered. I mean, honestly, that's how you view it right now. I think that I think if you're a Democrat or Republican, at least you care about our country enough to be one. And I think it's more about getting along than it is about agreeing. You know, I think it's mostly that. It's like I don't have to see eye to eye with anybody, really. I just have to get along with them. And like, we really came to like this block culture to where like, you don't agree with somebody, you just block them. You just like, there's this notion that you can just get rid of people you disagree with, you know, and that's kind of a terrible notion because they're still here. You know what I mean? Like,
I really don't even know. Like, you know what I mean? Sometimes I'm just like, just fight them. You know what I mean? Just fight, just do the best that you can to fight for what you know what I mean? Sometimes I'm just like, no, like means the battle never ends. You gotta see, you know, and other times I'm like, no, this person, I'm not going to give up what I believe in, but like, I would still like, you know, I would still help them off the street if they needed help. You know what I mean? I would still give them Narcan if they were overdosing. You know what I mean? I would still be their sponsor if they said, I don't want to live this way anymore. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's a complicated thing. You know, it's like you fight the battle, not the person or something. I don't know what it is exactly, but I'm still trying to figure it out, you know?
Yeah, I think we all are, man. I think it's a very honest narration of like the current state we're in, man. I think it's like, I'll get passionate about it too and just think everybody that doesn't agree with me is an idiot. And then I'll be like, wait a second. I'm like, I'm an idiot too. I forgot. You know, I'll, that's it.
I constantly, this is the thing. Like, I know right now I'm coming off like a very cool, enlightened person or something, but like, I drink the haterade more than anybody. Like, I love looking at shit and being like, this band fucking sucks. You know, like, this dude's an idiot. And then I catch myself and I'm like, yeah, you're an idiot too. Like you said, like, I'm still an idiot too.
It's important to realize that. But no, I get wrapped up in all that too. And I miss when we made fun of bands and stuff. I miss that being like, man, this band just sucks. Like, now it's just like a bunch of rich people making us fight for them. And, you know, it's like, I mean, like they all went to the same high schools. They all grew up. They all have houses in the Hamptons. They all hate us, and like, we're just like taking sides on like them. You know what I mean? It's just like they don't care about us at all. You know, and it's hard to realize that sometimes. You know, it's like I think that you got some good comments coming here too. It's like Jim was saying, forget the other is human too. We're in trouble. I think that's a great point. I mean, we have to remember that, and like, that's a good point. And it's just that people deserve kindness no matter what. That'll lead to more kindness. Yeah, saying that's a great comment too. Yeah. I think it's very well put.
Criticism is love too. You know what I mean? Like, if you have a friend and you're like, yo, I do not agree with you. I think like, and that's why I see people who get really like turned around. Like, I don't want to make this about like Kanye or whatever, you know, it's like, but like, I do think that somebody's saying like, nah, man, nah, like you're tripping now. Like, that's not how it is. You know? And I think you get to a certain level and people stop saying no, they just are like, yeah, dude, whatever you think, it's cool. It's like, no, man, if you love that person, you tell them when they're like, yo, you're off base, man. You're really off base.
Yeah, and I think I think people are so scared of criticism, they think it's like hatred or something like that, but it is love. You love a person enough to be honest with them and be like, my friend made some music the other day, and like, and it was like mastered weird. And it took me a second. I answered him maybe 5 hours later when he asked me about it. Because like, it took me a second because I didn't want to like break his heart when he showed me the song, you know. I waited a second, but I was the only one to tell him. And then he heard it. He goes, "Oh, that was master weird. Let me fix that." And like, I mean, everyone else was like, "Oh, that's good, dude. That's real good, dude." And I'm like, "Man, you asked me the question." You know what I mean? So I'm like, I'm gonna delay it because I'm a coward, but I'm still gonna tell you because I'm honest. You know, it's like, and I feel like that was an example of that. Like, you know, it's just like, and he really appreciated it, I think, because it was like some weird tech issue. It was like some weird tech thing, and he was about to upload that to like to Spotify and all the streaming apps with it sounding like all like terrible without being properly mastered. And I was like, that was a situation like that. It's like, but he's smart enough to see that criticism's constructive and like how you grow and learn, and like I'm like, I care enough to be honest rather than be like, dude, great, man. Can I have your autograph? You know, it's like, rather than just be like that. I was just like, man, you gotta fix that real fast. And I think that's about everything, man. It's like, it's like, tell somebody got something in their teeth. It's like, thanks, man. I don't want to walk around like that. You know, it's like, you know, it's
exactly,
the same.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's just a lot of hate in the world, man. I feel like artists, like, it's like, you need to, like, as a musician, like, I think you could probably get people out of that at least for a couple hours a night, you know? But I think like if it lasts with them, you know, I think that's the magic, man. If they can leave one of your shows and just be like, I mean, just like a different, better person. I think it's the goal of an artist almost. You know, it's to save the world, really. You know, I think that's like what an artist should do.
You know, it's interesting. You were asking about like, do you remember before you were born? I also have like a pretty like weird, either it was like a dream or it's a memory. Like I don't know, but like of a kind of like. Kind of being on like a Mount Olympus type place and having like a bunch of peers surround me and being like, we have to destroy you. And it's not because we don't love you, but because like you got some bad stuff in you that's not coming out. So we have to cast you out and like destroy you. You know what I mean? Almost like that kind of like primeval, like you're going to hell now. And it's not even to punish you. It's just like, you're fucked. And we gotta purify your soul and get out all the bad stuff. And so sometimes, like, I think that's an interesting, like, when I think about, like, why we talk about heaven and hell and what it means, you know, it's like, I do believe that there's, you know, pain is the best transformation, you know, it's the best teacher you could possibly have is that, like, the pain. And if you do pain right, then you can change. And it's an interesting thing. I do think criticism's love and respect, you know what I mean? That is, like, a respect. You're like, because when you criticize somebody, you're like, I love you enough to think that you can handle this. You know what I mean? I respect you enough to think that you can handle this.
Yeah, that's real. I go back and forth. Like sometimes insults are like psychological projections of insecurities, and other times it's good advice. So it's like
yeah,
like,
yeah, it's, no, you know, it is sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes like there's like look, you're me. You're me. You know, that's like how everybody sounds insulting people. But then like other times I'm like, okay, that was just true. Like, I mean, like if someone was just right. Like. It's almost just like you look like a lawn gnome that skateboards. I'm like, well, that's probably just true. You know, I'm like, I do look like a lawn gnome that skateboards. You know, but other things are just like psychological projection. So it's like hard to differentiate. And like the soul's crazy. I think the goal is to be better, but I think there's a battle between like a good and evil constantly. And I think that like darkness will consume strong people. I mean. Like yourself, for example, like, I mean, you're very honest in your book and your story and stuff like that. And I think that darkness is going to consume an artist that can touch thousands, if not millions of people before it's going to touch like somebody else. You know, they're going to go after a guy. And I hate using this term, but I mean, the modern term would be like an influencer aspect. I hate using that term. It diminishes fame and like talent and artistry. But I think like, but influencer in the purest sense of like, you're able to influence the masses. It's going to go after a guy like you before it's going to go after some other guy. You know what I mean? And you're in the devil's field, bro. I mean, music. I mean, Lucifer was the angel. Was like an angel that played music, bro. You know, it's like, so it's just like, I mean, of course, darkness is gonna prey on guys like you because, like, I mean, you're smart and you have a loud voice and like, you know what I mean, so it's like, that's how I view that. And it's awesome that you have like a redemption story and you came out of it and you seem like balanced and you seem like with it and like, you know, and I think that's like it's a blessing to be able to learn the lessons you probably learned, you know, and I think that's what wisdom is in our age and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, and always continuing to try and take account of all that. You know what I mean? Like to try and constantly say, like, I didn't get better. Like it's contingent upon me continuing to do the work. You know what I mean? And that's the hardest part because, you know, like even in sobriety, I can fail to show up. I can make excuses. You know, I was talking to a sponsee today who is on a relapse right now, and we were out and talking, and he's telling me about some of the things that he's done in his relapse. And I said, hey, man, I think in the last 6 months, I've done all those things sober. So, like, remember, while you're being hard on yourself, remember, like, you're a human being and, like, you can fuck all that up while you're sober, too. You know, like, I want you to know, like, you do need to get sober. But, like, that's not the end of the road. That's the beginning. You know what I mean? Like, that's day one is you get sober. And then from then on, you have to go, like, why am I still like this?
You probably help a lot of people as a sponsor because, like, I couldn't imagine if I was like having problems with drugs and chemicals and a rock star is just telling me what to do. You're like, hey man, no, here's how I quit drugs. I'm like, well, you'd fucking know. I mean, a rock star would know before somebody. I mean, you know what I mean? In that field, I feel like that's powerful. And like, and like, I think you're right on like, and that's the hard part to realize is like, I'll do like a good deed or something like that. I'm like, man, I'm a good person. I'm like, oh fuck, that's situational. And it's like, I have to keep being a good person. I can't just feed somebody one time and brag about it for 7 months about how what a good, great person I. You'd like you literally have to actively be kind and help people and like, however you can and like and not brag about it. Obviously, too, I have a problem with that too. A lot of people just like a lot of shitty people will just pretend like they're good. Like look at me. I'm like, I'm doing all this good stuff and like, you know, it's like just taping it. I don't know. It's situational. I don't know. And that's
there's
just my
great. Joke. There's a great thing that you know, my sponsor said to me, which is that like self-esteem comes through esteemable actions, you know, do something good for somebody and then you'll feel good about yourself. Don't do it so you can tell somebody else, just do it because it's the right thing to do. And you do that enough times in a row and suddenly like, you're not a bad person who does good things. You start to kind of become a good person. You know what I mean? It's like a weird transformation.
And I'm on that right now, trying to be like that, man. I think that's, I'm trying the best I can to be a good person, you know, And I love that your fan base knows who William Blake even is, man. Like, that's great.
Oh, yeah, they're the best.
A
lot of the people that are in here that I recognize are, like, on the younger side of our fan base. And I will say that, like, the current young kids that are coming to our shows are, like, they're awesome. They're all, like, little writers and artists. And, like, yeah, it's pretty wild, man. I feel very extremely inspired by the current crop of kids that are into Thursday, so.
You're training the next generation, homie. You know, it's like that's what it's about, dude. Like, when I saw that quote, I'm like, that's an interesting thing to say. And like, I can't even believe they know who William Blake is. I'm like, I can't even believe. This is a cell phone podcast, and someone's talking about William Blake. I'm like, wow, there's a future. We do have a future here. Okay, that's good.
The children are.
And that's what I'm saying. They're all saying they're inspired by you, man. That's true.
Thanks, Shelby. We just hung up, Shelby, we just hung up the needlepoint work you did of Lola. Liza showed it to Lola and she, you know. So Shelby did a really nice, I think it's needlepoint. I actually don't understand the difference between different things or stitching or whatever it is, but it's a little round hoop with like stitch work and it's really lovely. And it's of our little stray cat that we take care of.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome, dude. That's cool. That's cool, man. That you're engaged with these people. I just like that. I'm kind of baffled they knew who William Blake was. Beyond, I don't know why I'm so thrown off, but I'm just like, that's one of my favorite poets. And I was just like, they just name one of these. You actually know his work too. I was just completely impressed by it, to be honest. Embroidery,
you know,
she said.
I'm constantly like recommending books because I read like a pretty wild amount of books. I read a book a week easy. Like, so I'm constantly recommending stuff. Not only are the young kid. Fans, I mean, young kid, you know, 20s is a young kid to me now.
To us, yeah.
but not only are they reading them, they're also being like, have you read this one yet? And I'll be like, no. And they're like, oh, yeah, you should have read this one. And I read it. I'm like, dang, yo, you guys know what's up.
That is awesome. I was like, I'm just completely impressed. I mean, William Blake's one of the best poets of all time. And I'm completely impressed. I mean, just in that reference point. But no, I listen to a lot of audiobooks because I'm from Missouri and I'm not literate. So I listen to a terrible amount of audiobooks. I'm probably about the same point you are saying, like about a book a week. But like, I feel like I do other things. I wish I had the discipline to sit down with a book and just only do that. I wish I had the discipline to only, but I like listen to it while I'm like working out or like riding my bike or like doing something. And I'm like, I have like a headphone, like one ear listening to like some book on frequency or something that week or like whatever else I want to. I've been tearing through stuff like that. I wish I just had the discipline to actually read a book. I think it's called intelligence, actually. I wish I had the intelligence to just sit down and just only read a book. You know, it's like my mind's always doing all this stuff, and I'm like, man, I better work out, or I better do this while I'm doing this, or I better, like, you know.
I think it's just how you take in information, because like when I listen to an audiobook, I can't follow it. Like for whatever reason, I listen to an audiobook and I get so lost. Like I'm like, what are they talking about? I zoned out, I guess. Whereas like
I can do it
for whatever reason. For whatever reason, when I read, like I take it in better. I think it's just like, you know, people have different types of intelligence. You know, I was reading an article recently, like I clowned on drummers before, but I read this study that drummers have the highest IQs in most of the bands that they're in because the way that they train their nervous system, it means that all their like their brain is actually super active because like they're moving and they're coordinating all the time, and it means there's more like neural pathways lighting up, and it's just one of those crazy things that you never think of.
No, that makes a lot of sense, because any drummer in any band's the drummer's the only one that knows where the shows are at, what time they play. Like they make the website. They're almost the manager in most bands. So I mean that I would almost agree with that. Except I would almost agree at least that they're smart. I don't know that they're the smartest person in the band, but they're the only one that knows anything about the band. Like when I ask them, like I don't know your situation in like Thursday or something, but I'm saying like. A lot of my buddies' bands, like, they never knew what time they were playing. They never knew what town they were going to next. They never knew. I'm like, where are you guys going tomorrow? Oh, I don't know. And, like, the drummer would tell me, like, every time.
You know, my whole band would call me Space Cowboy. They'd be like, don't ask Space Cowboy. He doesn't know. You know what I mean? Like, when I was just, like, the one driving the van, I'd be the one who would, like, everybody falls asleep and I run out of gas in, like, a cornfield in Iowa. And I'm like, I forgot to fill up. You know what I mean? They're like, what? There's a needle. It shows you how much gas is left.
That's funny, man. Like, yeah, no, I was like that in college too. Like, I had to like be watching a documentary, listening to music, and reading. I have to like do all this stuff at one time. I think it's like just the internet. I think the internet made me like that, where I have to like be doing three things at once.
See, I didn't grow up with the internet, so like it's not my native language. You know what I'm saying?
Ah, okay. No, I was at the beginning of that, so I was like I'm like, you said you're 45.
Yeah,
I'm 37.
Well, in a week.
Oh, no, wait. Well, happy early birthday, by the way. But I'm at the beginning. I was at the beginning of that, where I was like one of the first people to have computers, I think, in like the 90s and stuff, where I was like the very beginning of that.
That's great. I remember telling a professor who told me to check my email more because we had college email addresses. And I was like, email's a fad. Nobody's going to use this in 10 years. And now I'm like, that was like one of the dumbest things I've ever said to anybody in my life.
Well, you can't predict the future. It probably seemed like it at the time, man. You know, I probably would have. You know what I mean? No one knew how it was going to go. That it was like, you know what I mean? It basically, the internet just replaced every business, basically.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for the birthday wishes, everybody. Yeah, nice.
This comment I agree with, too. I kind of wish, I miss when the internet was a place we visit time to time. Yeah, dude. Like, everybody's just like this.
Yeah.
Everybody's just like this all day. It's like staring at their phone. You're like talking to them. They're like, it's like, yeah. It's like, man, I do miss that, man, honestly. Like, that time, like, when, I don't know. I'm trying to be accountable with that with my phone. Do you do anything like that to where like you try to limit your use or something like that?
Not really.
I do this weird thing where I just like document everything I do.
Yeah, that's cool. I do that with calories.
I do that with calories too on the health aspect of it. I do. I count most of my where's that? You know, I do that on the food thing too. That's funny.
Got to get my macros in check. You know what I'm saying?
I wonder if that has something to do with being. Are you completely sober?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to get to that point where I drink a little bit still, but I'm trying to get out of that too. But when I quit smoking weed completely, I went into this like I have to work out every day thing, and I went into like this like and I just document everything like you're saying. I wonder if that's a sobriety thing, or were you always like that, or is that a sobriety thing?
No, it's a sobriety thing for me for sure.
I was wondering that, man. It's like
I have multiple daily planners now. Like it totally changed the way I have to deal with my life. Like I can't let like the anxiety of not being sure if I missed something. Like I used to not be able to open my mail because I was like, now I've let it go for too long and now I can't open it. You know what I mean? Like now, no, because what if something is important there? I missed it. Like, so now I better just never open it. Like that's kind of the way my brain used to work. And now I'm just like, let's just get it over with. Let's do it right now. Let's make sure we have it written down on the list that we did it already. You know what I mean? Like it's
weird. Because like change. Drugs like lie to you. You feel smarter on drugs, but then when you're sober, you're smarter. It's weird. It's like, because they lie to you. I remember
I remember saying to somebody somebody's asking like, so what's like, what do you like about heroin? And I was like, well, I like that I stayed in control and that like, I, you know, like it made things more enjoyable. Like I could do my taxes and feel good. He was like, are you serious? And his friend was like, yeah, dude, that's why people do it. It's like, it really, you know, it helps until it doesn't, you know what I mean? It's like, that's the kind of drug user I was. I wasn't like that. I want to get shit faced and go crazy. I was just more like, know, I want to feel safe. Like, I want to feel loved and hugged all the time. And I want like a windshield between me and the world, you know?
No, I kind of see that. I see that too. It's like people would make fun of me, and then like I'd party too and hang out with people and stuff, and like do that wild stuff too. But I mean, when I was younger anyway. But no, I'd do the same things. I'm already gonna do the same stuff. I mean, and like I related to like I mean I wasn't as crazy. I mean, not to no disrespect, I wasn't as crazy as you were with that stuff. I never went to like the heroin route or anything like that. But I would still like chain smoke weed and do other things that like that I'm not gonna admit to you on audio on a recording. But I was smoking like, I don't know, like a half pound every 2 weeks and eating these edibles all the time and like chain smoking dabs and just like, you know what I mean? I was just like, so it was like the same kind of thing. Like you're masking depression and like, and just like, I don't know, just getting fucked up to do the mundane things, you know, that aren't really that fun to do, but you have to do. It's like, you have to, I mean, it's like you have to brush your teeth and you have to like do all these things that, you know, like that's the, you know, it's one of those things. I don't know. Went off on a weird tangent that doesn't make any sense.
I was with you. We did go off on a tangent, but we were together on it at least. You know what I'm saying?
Let's return back to the book promo. Let's go back to it. If you're watching this and if you haven't read Jeff's book, you can get it. You can get it on the website there. I'm trying to figure out what the first word means, but if you know in the comments, tell me what the word means. I'm an idiot. I don't know. But I'm just being honest. Somebody smarter than me, please. Like, your fan base seems smart, so. But no, check out his book and like you need to do an audio book, man. Like you need to record your voice saying it. Like I think that'd be great. I'd listen to it.
Yeah. That's something I'm working on. Like before I leave again, I'm gonna try and finish it. So well, I've got a couple calls this week. It just so happens that Steve, our guitar player's family, like half of them work at Audible, and another one is like an audiobook editor. So like I'm gonna get all the tips, you know.
Yeah. No, it's funny because like I'm like, man, I'll listen to your audiobook. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure he needs $15 that bad, you know. I'm like one dude saying it to you. I'm like, hey man, I'd buy the audiobook for sure. Like, I'm like, yeah, here's $15. I'll Venmo you $15, homie. You know, it's like,
man, we already talked about artists and how much they needed. That $15 can make a big difference.
You know? Oh, I know, yeah. For the people watching and stuff, yeah. But I spent me in particular, I'm like, that would fucking do something, you know. But everybody already says they already have your book anyway. That's awesome, man. But yeah, if you want to get it there, I usually try to keep these an hour so I don't get stale and stuff. But
yeah.
Anything else you want to throw out?
No, this has been such a pleasure. I mean, I can't believe how deep we got in an hour. That was pretty wild.
No, it's great. No, it's a pleasure to kind of meet you like digitally, I guess. You know, like not officially, but digitally. And she's reading her second time. That's impressive.
Aw, thanks, Shelby.
Yeah, the book is very successful. You said the sixth print?
Yeah, it's really been like, I really can't believe, you know, that somebody asked me like, you know, Thursday's like now so like respected, but when you first came out, like you guys got really mixed press, like half the people loved it, half the people hated it. You know, how come you think like all the book stuff has been positive? There hasn't been any like bad reviews. And I said, because all the haters can't read, you know what I'm saying?
No, that's true, bro. That's so true, man. That's so funny. That's so funny, man. Like, dude, I'll ask you after this. I don't want to ask right now. But yeah, if you want to throw any promo or anything like that, like Thursday, are you guys touring this summer and stuff too? Are you guys doing a bunch of tours still?
You know, we got a few things that aren't announced yet that I'm pretty excited about. But one thing that is announced is we're going to South America for the first time.
Wow.
And we found out that like the shows are all going to sell out, it looks like. And that's cool. That's like, I've never been down there. I've been dying to go my entire life. So I'm really excited.
That's quite an accomplishment to sell out countries you've never been to. That's a huge accomplishment. Yeah.
Although I guess like if you haven't been in 25 years, it's like everybody's like, I better go now because they're never coming back.
Yeah. No, that's great, man. No, I'm a big fan of your work, and I hope you keep killing it, man. I hope that I hope your band continues to do awesome stuff, man. I'm gonna check out your book.
Shelby says stream No Oblivion. So I have another band called No Devotion that's really cool. It's really different. It's like much darker. When you hear No Devotion, you'll be like, oh, the Nine Inch Nails things make sense.
Okay.
Yeah, I have another band called No Devotion, and it's very, very underground. Like, not many people have heard it. It's like, it's not like half as big as Thursday. It's like a little tiny baby band that nobody knows. So, but it is beautiful, and I think it's some of my best work. So, check it out.
Yes, no, I respect the success, but I'm also into the art. So, I mean, now definitely check it out too, man. Like, it's cool, dude. Like, I appreciate you coming on here. And like I said, going backwards in your career for us, taking pity on the small podcasts, you know, the cell phone podcast. I appreciate it.
I feel like you definitely have more followers than I do by a lot, though.
Well, it's I'm trying to build you up right now, bro. And you're just like, you're just not even letting me take it right now. I'm trying to build you up.
Just now the truth comes out, you know.
I'm trying to do the Wayne's World. We're not worthy right now, and you're just like,
that's okay. If they made it an hour and 10 minutes into this, then they're already on board. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, dude. People.
Then we convince them. You know what I'm saying? Then we made yeah, them
we already convinced them. Yeah, no. But legitimately, man, you are a legend. There's people said in there, an icon. I think that's a better word. But I do appreciate you taking the time to do it. And like, I'm glad we got the singer, not the drummer, from Thursday. You know, I'm glad we
That's only because you haven't met Tucker. Everybody likes Tucker better.
You're right. I haven't met. I just like talking shit. It's funny. I'm sure he's a great guy, but I think it's funny. But no, I appreciate everything. If you guys are watching that haven't, I mean, most of your fans are in the comments, it seems like. So, but if you haven't heard of the Thursday, check him out. Check out where they're touring. Check out Jeff's other work. Check out his book on the website, on the screen, and also link in the description if you're listening on audio later. Jeff's an absolute legend. Thursday has been a legendary band for decades at this point now, which is crazy to say. I feel old saying that. Even that's crazy. Like I've listened to this band for 20 years now at this point. You've been on my playlist for 20 years, I guess. Now it's crazy to think about. And I appreciate everything. And no, thank you all for watching. I know it's a Monday and it's 9:41 my time. So if you're watching, I mean you're just a badass if you're watching on a Monday. That's all I'm saying. So thank you all. Have a great night. I hope each one.
Love everybody.
Yeah, I hope all your dreams come true too, and you can do whatever you want in your life too. I mean, we're like living proof of that. You know, like anybody can do anything. And thank you very much for watching, everybody.